Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Bill Campbell. Bill's the Assistant Secretary for Management and Chief Financial Officer of the Department of Veterans Affairs. And joining us in our conversation is Steve Watson. Well, Bill, can you tell us about some of the highlights from VA's most recent budget request?
Well, the President's 2004 budget request asked for a total of slightly under $64 billion for our programs. This is a 7.7% increase over the previous year, 2003. This is the largest percentage increase of any cabinet agency. So we're doing pretty well on in the budget regard as far as getting the money to do our programs.
Bill, for the fiscal year 2004 budget, I understand the VA implemented a new budgeting structure. What are the major features of this budget account restructuring and how it has changed VA budgeting?
Well, one of the things that we've tried to accomplish in the last couple of years is to have full costing of all of our programs, to identify the total cost of ownership for all of these programs. When you have an agency like ours that's been around for quite a while, you end up with a patchwork quilt of programs, and their costs are held in different pots. So what we wanted to do, and we've been striving to do, is to identify fully the cost. 2 years ago, if you'd asked me, Bill, how much does VA spend on burial? I would have said, well, let me look in the budget document. I would look in under our budget document. I'd find $142 million for the National Cemetery Administration. However, that would have been erroneous. If you look at all of the little pots of money that have anything to do with burial, markers, headstones, and so forth, benefits that go to dependents and survivors, and you added it up, it was $355 million. So what we're trying to do to help us manage our programs is to get a better handle on what they actually cost. And so this year, for 2004, we've restructured our budget submission. We've also are working on having the same budget submission for 2005. Now, for 2004, because it's brand new, and you have to be able to work with the people on the Hill for your appropriation, we have a crosswalk so they can see what it would be under the old budget structure and what it is under the new budget structure. We're still negotiating with the Congress, congressional staff, and OMB as to how this is all going to work out.
Bill, I also understand that most of the VA budget is mandatory spending and only a small portion discretionary funding. How does that affect your budgeting process?
Well, actually, it's not as small as you would think. Mandatory are our big programs like compensation and pension, burial, and so forth. And that makes up 53% of our budget. So the discretionary part, which is medical care and some other things like medical research and general administration, makes up 47%. But it is remarkable that you have these two different types of creatures living in the same. You have to pay attention to the mandatory programs, but there is no negotiation on them. They are what they are. We use very sophisticated actuarial models to come up to tell us what the benefits should be. And then we spend the majority of our time, of course, refining and negotiating our discretionary budget. But it's the discretionary budget is still rather large, and because of the increases in health care costs, it is quickly making up the gap. And I would think in the next 5 or so years, it might be a 50-50 split.
Tying in there and digging a little deeper, how has the rising medical care costs and the number of older veterans impacted your budget?
A tremendous impact. It isn't so much the money, but everything gets back to money so that you can pay for the services and the benefits that you're giving the veteran. But the money would allow us to hire the staff and to make sure that our facilities and our equipment are up to snuff. We have had such a rapid growth in the last few years in the number of veterans using VA for medical care. It's unbelievable. In 1996, when we opened enrollment to all veterans, we were treating about 2.9 million people in our medical facilities. This past year, we treated 4.5 million, and we have an aging population of veterans. And our information shows us from statistical modeling that when our medical care recipients reach age 65, their cost of care goes up remarkably. And right now, the average age for all veterans for all benefits is about 58. But for medical care, it's 63, and they're approaching almost a year-for-year increase in age, that they're approaching the point where in probably a couple of years, those things that get more critical as you become geriatric are going to just drive the price of health care and the number of people we will need to treat our patients through the roof.
And isn't longevity also affecting how long they're in the system as well as
yes.
our population gets
yes.
older?
The population is getting older and the longevity is increasing. So we will have older, sicker patients for a longer period of time.
You mentioned a large increase in the number of veterans serviced. What is driving that increase?
Well, there are many things. One is the longevity. My grandfather was a World War I veteran. He died in 1950 at the age of 51. My dad died 6 years ago at the age of 74. He was a World War II and Korean War veteran. The longevity is certainly increasing, and we don't have a lot of programs that give medical care to people, so veterans naturally look to wherever they can get their care, and that would be the Veterans Administration.
Bill, we recently had Deputy Secretary Leo McKay on our show, and he mentioned the Capital Asset Realignment for Enhanced Services, otherwise known as the CARES program. Can you tell us a little bit more about the CARES program and how VA is allocating its capital investment resources?
Well, first of all, VA, as I said earlier, because of all of the medical facilities and so forth that we have, has a tremendously large capital plant. Every square foot of grounds and buildings that we have costs something to keep and maintain. There is no free property. You know, just because it was paid for years ago doesn't mean it's free. You still have to keep it in decent shape, and you have to make sure that no harm comes to it. That is a tremendous bill that sucks resources that could be applied to improving the health care for veterans to something less productive, keeping an empty building or a building that's not completely full up and running. What we're trying to do is to reduce the footprint and put those facilities where we need them. If you look at the typical veterans, most of them, or a good deal of them, have moved away from the Northeast, where we have a lot of facilities, to what you could call the Sun Belt. And if you look at three states, California, Texas, and Florida, they have together about 23% of all the veterans. Those are the big three. States that we have traditionally had a lot of veterans, the more populous states like New York, they seem to be losing veterans as the veterans pass away and as many of them move into retirement into Florida or Texas or California.
How are you using CARES for decision-making at VA?
Right now, we're not, because CARES is not finished. The process is ongoing. The Veterans Health Administration had worked on proposals to give to the Secretary. The Secretary has approved those proposals and has given them to an independent commission called the CARES Commission. The CARES Commission has started its deliberations, and I believe in the first quarter of fiscal year 2004 will present the Secretary with recommendations on which facilities to close, which ones to realign, and which ones to expand. It's not a zero-sum game. We are trying to free up resources to put the care to the veterans where they are located. That's why we have over 850 community-based outpatient clinics. A building by itself provides no care. You need to have whatever facility needs to have a trained and professional staff, and it needs equipment. And to spend money to keep empty buildings erect and watertight is not a very good use of the money, in my opinion.
What are the management challenges of the kind of reallocations you're talking about?
There's always a concern by the community when they've had a facility for a long time. It is difficult for them to believe that they are going to get the same care or even a greater amount of care. And that's what CARES is, to enhance the delivery of medical services and care. It is not merely to cut the budget. But as I said, we don't want to leave these resources fallow when we have a tremendous backlog of patients. The beginning of this year, because of the increased use in VA medical facilities, we had a backlog waiting lists of over 300,000 veterans. I would rather see the money be used to hire staff and reduce the waiting times down to 30 days for primary and specialty care than to have a building in a place that we don't have any staff to adequately manage.
It's an interesting point about the community. Competitive sourcing is part of the president's management agenda that generates much interest and emotion. What's the VA doing in the area of competitive sourcing? We'll ask Bill Campbell of the Department of Veterans Affairs to bring us up to date when the Business of Government Hour returns.